Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue. Light bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We are, I think, maybe done talking about transfer situations. We'll see. I mean, they might come into play just a little bit.
I'm going to bet that one happens Tuesday morning. That's my guess.
That's how it usually goes here.
Right.
The moment we'll get done recording our show, it's news happens. So, in a way, I think we're catalysts for events to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. So, let's put the transfers in the rear view for just a moment. I want to talk about their wide receivers coach. They got their guy, Jared Parker, spent two seasons at Duke, was an interim head coach at Purdue for 6 weeks or so back in 2016. James Franklin said his wide receivers have always overachieved. He spent 1 year at Duke in that role, and it's, you know, two seasons at Duke with David Cutcliffe is a good experience, I think. And I think what they got here was not just a guy who fit into what James Franklin wanted in terms of staff chemistry and recruiting. They got a guy who looks to be more of a tactician, you know, technician as a coach, actually developing and teaching wide receivers, which, you know, in hindsight, it's just something that David Corley wasn't totally in position to be able to do. And maybe Jared Parker is the guy to do that.
Yeah, I just wish we knew a little bit more about him. Obviously, he comes from Duke and he's been, you know, he's had a few other stops, but you know what? But just sort of aside from this, I was looking back through some 2018 coverage this time last year just to see what we were writing about and talking about. And there was a quote from Mike Farrell just from Rivals lavishly praising David Corley and how much of an impact hire he was going to be. And it turns out that take didn't last very long. But, you know, with Jerod Parker, I think that obviously James Franklin was looking for a guy like him for a while and knew exactly what he wanted. A young guy can recruit as far as we know, but I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like, nah, I don't feel one way about it. It's hard to call it a great hire. It's hard to call it a bad hire. It just kind of is what it is. And for Penn State, they just have to hope that he can turn around a unit that obviously has a ton of talent, and the ceiling is very high for that group. But ultimately, they need somebody a little bit more meshed, a little bit more, a little better with the program, and I think he can probably do that.
It's interesting. You know, there's a lot of jobs to fill in a coaching staff, and I think we as observers and fans of the sport, you tend to take some of these for granted a little bit, don't you? You tend to minimize how important those positions are, and there are some positions. There are some position coaches, certainly, where if their group is struggling or if their group is missing assignments, not as clear as it is with a group of wide receivers who it's their job to make plays. And when they're not making plays, which is what happened to Penn State all year long, that's when you end up needing a change. And I think it's an opportunity for us to kind of value and realize a little bit how much that coaching day-to-day can influence the quality of play on the field. I think you like I said, you sometimes take that for granted. We'll start to learn a little bit more about Jared Parker, and we'll see what impact. Certainly, he inherits a position group that has a lot of talent. They're losing Brandon Polk. They're losing Juwan Johnson. We know that. But there's still a case to be made that this is one of, if not the best position group on the roster, certainly one of the top three or four position groups on the roster he inherits.
No question. I mean, it's just hard to say. I mean, could David Corley – look, he didn't come to Penn State to be the receivers coach. He came to Penn State to be the running backs coach. So things got off on the wrong foot immediately. And I think there's something to be said about that. But at some point, you have to catch the ball. I don't think the Eagles are going to fire. Now, this is a completely, you know, not exactly, it's a timely example, but the Eagles aren't going to fire the receivers coach because Alshon Jeffrey dropped the ball, even though he was wide open. But they also haven't had a history of drops all season long.
So there's a tear coming down Greg's face.
Yeah, there is.
As he's making that case.
You know, ultimately what it comes down to is you need a couple of things to be on James Franklin's staff. You need to be able to coach, and your position group needs to thrive. I need to be able to recruit. And I'm not sure David Corley definitely didn't check box one. And I'm not sure he was checking box two all that well either. For Jerod Parker, I think that the key is twofold. Needs to be able to improve this group and keep it rising. Needs to be able to recruit his position. And more than anything else, better develop a relationship with Julian Fleming immediately.
Yeah, that's the next point, is that there's no time to waste here. He's got to present himself, and you're going to have kids, top targets, come and visit and try to evaluate, okay, what does this coaching change mean for how I feel about Penn State? And certainly Julian Fleming at the top of the list. And the reason, obviously, you know, in 2020, he's a five-star. He's maybe the best wide receiver in the country. He's one of the top players overall, and regardless of position in the country, he's from your backyard. He's an important, important target for Penn State. And at the same time Parker comes in, you've got Josh Gattis going from Alabama, where he spent 1 year as co-offensive coordinator, to Michigan, where Julian Fleming just a week or two ago was already saying he planned and wanted to visit anyway. Now you got a guy who has a relationship with Julian Fleming, who is at a Big Ten program, who's an offensive coordinator, who can maybe seal the deal. I think things just got a lot more interesting with Julian Fleming.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Josh Gattis was at Penn State, and he had a really good relationship with Fleming. He then moved on to Alabama and continued to have a good relationship with Fleming, and now he's at Michigan. So he obviously adds a different factor to this recruitment that I don't think many people saw coming. Now, Penn State probably could have fended off Maryland if Gattis went there for Fleming, but Michigan's going to be tough. It's no question about it. And he's seemingly interested in a lot of programs at this point. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to think. Obviously, it will have some impact. But to me, this is a head coach's recruitment. Jim Harbaugh, James Franklin, Clay Helton out of USC, some other ones, Nick Saban at Alabama. I mean, I think the position coaches will be important and the coordinators will be important. But at the end of the day, it feels to me like whichever head coach he has the best relationship with and thinks is going to be at the program he chooses for 3 or 4 years – that'll be the one that wins out in the end.
And Julian Fleming's recruitment, boy, he is really going to – I don't want to use the word pander necessarily, but there's a lot of little things out there that if you're a fan of any program, you're going to get some breadcrumbs that suggest he's going there, and you're also going to see stuff that makes you think he's not going there. There's right. going to be – there's going to be a lot of tea leaves to read here, and I'm not sure we're going to know anything until he actually makes a commitment. It'll be an interesting time for sure. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State football. I'm Dustin Hawkinsmith. He's Greg Pickle. A segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com. If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that Penn State fan in your life, you got to check out tailgatewine.com and the blue and white wine gift box. They also have some wine and barbecue pairings with sauces and rubs. Check it all out at tailgatewine.com, where great wine meets great barbecue. Speaking of Josh Gattis, you know, this was a guy who had spent, 5 years with James Franklin total? I think going back to Vanderbilt, correct. Came with him to Penn State. Left Penn State last season, but he was the co-offensive coordinator at Alabama. It looked on the surface to me like he wanted to be considered for that offensive coordinator job at Penn State. Then when it didn't happen, it looked like maybe that next step for him in his career was a lot less likely at Penn State than it would have been elsewhere. So he ends up spending a year at Alabama, which if you're a coach, it's kind of like working with Sean McVay right now in the NFL. If you're working with Nick Saban,
that whole thing's just getting ridiculous.
Oh, good. We fired you up.
The problem with McVay is that he's a brilliant coach, clearly, but I think on game day, he's a little bit too much. You know, it's like he's a computer on the sideline. At some point, I think that's going to – it's cost the Rams a couple times this year. I think it'll cost him again. But, yeah, this whole Sean McVay coaching tree is outrageous. I mean, he's been in the league for –
is he old enough for it to be a tree? It's more like a shrub, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like a – I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that. I have a feeling that the team's – like they're talking like position coaches that – worked with Sean McVay and like cleaned his car, or maybe NFL head coaches. I mean, come on. Sorry for the tangent, but that's a little bit troublesome.
We're 5 years away from having a 15-year-old NFL head coach.
Yeah, before long, Dustin, we'll have Sean McVay's babysitter be an NFL head coach. He doesn't have kids yet, but as soon as he has kids and there's a babysitter required, the connection to Sean McVay will be good enough to make that boy or girl a head football coach in the NFL.
But there are certain connections to head coaches that are magical when it comes to upward mobility of assistants. Right. And Nick Saban, obviously at Alabama, spending a year there. The weird thing here was that it all looked to be Maryland, and then Michigan was a quiet contender for Josh Gattis. I don't know at what point. I don't know whether a Maryland offer was given and then shopped, or if he was always, if Gattis was always talking to Michigan. But there's a little bit of misdirection. It looked like he was going to join Mike Locksley's staff, which would have been a natural. Locksley came from Alabama as well. And then out of nowhere, the offensive coordinator job at Michigan. So 2 years later, they'll be, Penn State will be coaching against Josh Gattis.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's for sure. I think that, you know, obviously Gattis is a guy that wanted Penn State's offensive coordinator job and did not get it because Ricky Ronnie did. And there's part of, you know, James Franklin.
What's your anticipation, by the way, you know, looking forward 5 years? I know it's not fair just yet, but is this a decision going with Ronnie over Gattis? Is this a decision that you're going to look at and circle?
I think that'll be influenced mostly by what Jim Harbaugh does at Michigan, because if he's out at Michigan, where's Josh Gattis next? You know, where does he go next, and what is his opportunity after that? It's fair to say, I think, that if Jim Harbaugh loses this year at Michigan, he could be done, whether by his choice or by the Michigan administration's choice. So
it doesn't matter. It's just a reminder, again, it doesn't matter what Michigan does outside of that Ohio State game. If you cannot beat Ohio State,
right,
that at some point in time will be the end of you.
It absolutely is true. So, I mean, I think really when it comes to Gattis, you have to time the Harbaugh now and wait and see. But, you know, I'll give Ricky Ronnie a couple more years before I'm ready to jump on that bandwagon. I know if, you know, I don't know. Is Gattis going to call plays, or is that Harbaugh? Is he going to be offensive coordinator in title but not necessarily practice? I know Jim Harbaugh's fairly secretive about all this stuff.
I got to assume he's going to call plays. Well, we'll start to learn more about that, certainly when Penn State plays Michigan. A couple little recruiting odds and ends that I want to touch on. Devon Ellis, a big-time target from McDonough School of Maryland, a four-star defensive tackle, is going to announce at the Polynesia Bowl January 19th. Penn State and USC look like the finalists there. So that's going to be a big piece of information as far as rounding out Penn State's 19 class. Nick Cross, a four-star safety from DeMatha Catholic, a Florida State commit, is going to take an official visit, his last official visit to Penn State. That's according to Steve Wilfong from 24/7. And I guess it's probably been about a week now. Penn State offered Joseph Apaya-Darkwa, a 260-pound defensive lineman from Germany, which is an interesting offer that goes out. He's going to take some visits as well. So you're going to start to see some some things start to fall in place, some dominoes start to fall for the rest of Penn State's 2019 recruiting efforts. For now, we're moving on from football to basketball. Jeff Brown joins us to talk Penn State hoops in just a moment. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.